in a typical 10,000 square foot data center that consumes about 8,000 or 8,060 watt light bulbs, which is about 6 to 10 times the power needed to power the national laboratories over in Berkeley, customers could end up paying millions of dollars just to keep their computers turned on.
Yes, there's no doubt that the power and cooling of large data centers has become a significant issue. As servers become denser and energy costs skyrocket, IT organizations are looking for new ways to cut costs without scrapping their existing data centers. Hi, my name is Paul Gillen, and in this IBM Innovations podcast, we'll explore some of the technologies and techniques that are being brought to bear to solve this increasingly pressing problem. Our speaker is Kwesi Asare. He's the brand manager for Cool Blue, and that's an IBM collection of building blocks that help customers lower their power and cooling requirements and save money. Solving the power problem is a matter of technology and management, as he tells us in this conversation. Well, Kwesi, how big a concern are power and cooling costs to enterprise data center managers these days? Are the costs continuing to go up?
Well, that's a great question, and the short answer absolutely is yes. In a number of parts of the world, we're already starting to increase not only the cost associated with getting energy, but also the cost associated with actually acquiring, using, and managing that energy accordingly for our system productivity. So what do I mean by that? The systems themselves are getting more and more power hungry. So the variable cost associated with running and powering and using IT systems has become prohibitively expensive. For the third year in a row in 2005, driven by, you know, some macroeconomic challenges within parts of the world, tight capacity, extreme weather, and focus on energy among investors, the cost of crude oil reached $50 for the first time after 40% decrease since 2004. So the systems themselves get this energy and this electricity downstream from energy companies and from energy supply chains that's drastically affecting their ability to get more productivity out of their systems at a cost point which is not prohibitive to business goals and objectives. We know that for every dollar spent on IT equipment, 3 to 4 is spent on operating it through its life, and for systems that depreciate greater sometimes in real estate costs over 30 or 40 years, it's not an exciting value proposition for a lot of our customers to be faced with this reality, and the costs simply have to come back in line with the expectations for systems managers and IT managers when they actually acquire systems.
So does this mean you're seeing IT organizations buy fewer servers? Does this begin to affect their plans?
Well, you're seeing them actually start to rethink how they lay out their data centers. So for some classes of customers who actually have the wherewithal and the resources, a lot of them are starting to rebuild their data centers altogether because they're finding it's cheaper just to build a brand new data center than refit the one they've got and retrofit it to existing infrastructure. For some other customers, what they're finding is that they're finding clever places to actually locate and place some of the systems in their data center. And for a lot of customers, they're asking us to deliver more energy-efficient platforms and solutions. So in the same square foot or the same footprint inside of the data center, they're saying, well, you know, IBM, I've got about 50 watts per square foot that I can actually use of usable space inside of my data center, and I may be able to get to 100 watts per square foot, but you have to tell me what you can put within this power envelope. These are my limitations. You bring me more energy-efficient systems and platforms that fit within the boundaries of this, or else I'm not going to go above that limit over there. So the challenge certainly is on us as an IT industry to provide those energy-efficient systems and platforms. And I'm happy to say that we happen to actually make some of the most energy-efficient systems and platforms in the IT industry, and we've unleashed some of those systems in the last year, and we'll be bringing forth some more that actually help to alleviate that concern or that challenge.
You mentioned earlier that the cost of operations can be 3 to 4 times the cost of the acquisition cost of a piece of equipment. Can you break that down? How do those costs break down, and what are the typical costs per year of a server's environmentals?
Yeah, so the breakdown for costs come from initially upstream, right? So we've got, as I alluded to, some of the bulk of the reserves being located in several parts of the world, with a heavy concentration, obviously, in the Middle East, and then the search for renewable energy starting to affect some of those costs downstream. But it's cheaper for energy companies actually to bring us AC power rather than DC power. And DC power, as you know, is what these systems actually rely upon, and that's what they use. But getting that AC power to the data center is cheaper and is actually faster for the IT companies to deliver via AC. Now, when it gets to the data center, they've actually got to convert that electricity back from AC power into DC. And in that conversion, we actually lose some of that total potential energy, right? That conversion from AC to DC power is heat. And so for some of our systems and our platforms, for example, the blades, which have very efficient power supply conversions, we can actually convert 95% of that last mile from AC to DC power. And we only lose about, you know, 5 to 10% of that energy as waste or as heat and actually get to the system. And if you start to think about all on that continuum, that for every 3 watts we bring into the data center, only one of them actually makes it to the system in terms of productivity. Whether it's wasted through heat or inefficiencies in the power conversion factors, we got to make sure that the energy that we allocated all along the way actually ends up into productivity. We don't want our customers continuing to pay millions of dollars, you know, per data center just for managing that total life cycle. In a typical 10,000 square foot data center that consumes about 8,060 watt light bulbs, which is about 6 to 10 times the power needed to power the national laboratories over in Berkeley, customers could end up paying millions of dollars just to keep their computers turned on. And the conversion there is a very important part of that equation. So managing that last mile are some of those things that actually drive up the total cost of ownership for our customers.
Are there hidden costs as well? For example, the cost of upgrading air conditioning systems that people often don't consider?
Yeah, there are. The most common complaint we get from our customers is that there were implicit assumptions up front about what my roadmap for power consumption would be. So I would go to my large UPS manufacturer or my air conditioning manufacturer, and I would tell them, you know what, I'm going to need an X amount of energy to power these systems. And that manufacturer would say to you, well, you need 400 kilowatts of electricity for the next 20 or 30 years. And that roadmap has an expectation that you'll continue to grow and get to a certain level. Well, along the way, we develop more energy-efficient systems and platforms. So the roadmap for using that 400 kilowatts, which you'll find is, you know, by year 10 or 15, you're not anywhere near that clip level. But the system's recommendation from some of these other vendors that told you, well, this is what your roadmap would be based on, you know, nameplate rating or some of the implicit assumptions, told you that you need to go on this path or this direction. So suffice it to say, up front, there are some hidden costs because as a company, you were looking to acquire IT equipment that was going to give you more productivity, and now as you continue to roll out your data center, up front, the planning and the facilities guys are telling you you need this amount of cooling or this amount of power because this is your roadmap for growth. So now you're starting to find not only is the capital expenditure prohibitively expensive, the systems themselves are going to be sitting in an environment where they're under-optimized and not using that infrastructure efficiently. On the back end, what we're starting to find is that after a customer acquires an IT piece of IT equipment, then they're being told, well, I need X number of PDUs, power distribution units, or I need X number of uninterruptible power supplies, or I've got to, you know, put together an infrastructure that puts my hot aisles and my cold aisles in a certain fashion. I've got to move and turn around these data centers. And all this costs time, it costs resources, it costs money, and it really causes a bit of a headache because the thinking about a solution implementation certainly wasn't part of the equation up front. If I was getting my systems off the shelf from my local electronics manufacturer, whatever was on sale, the x86 business was, you know, popular and trendy, I stuck that in my under my cabinets or, you know, on top of my desktops or wherever I could. Now what we're finding is that as those customers try to move over into the x86, move those x86 platforms over into the data center, they're finding that the solution view of installing IT equipment is very different from the off-the-shelf customer acquisition, and that, no, it's not just sufficient to just take a look at the price tag on the web. You really have to think long and hard about the electricity that's necessary to run this system. Is this the most energy-efficient platform I can select given my power and cooling boundaries, and do I have enough cooling capacity to actually take advantage of this system in a productive environment? If not, I have to go and find the most energy-efficient system or platform.
No doubt a lot of innovative brain power is being put to work solving this problem right now. What are some of the new technologies that you're using to help address it?
Sure. We've got a comprehensive approach to taking advantage of IT data centers. CoolBlue gives us the opportunity to drive energy efficiency and bring forward a performance per watt per square foot agenda that's been really, really compelling and well understood by not only our customers, our technical sales communities, but ultimately the end users as well. In that portfolio, we've got a collection of solution building blocks, power configurator, which helps our customers up front assess their power requirements and their heating requirements even before they actually acquire a system or a platform, giving them the ratings for BTUs, for amperage draws, and it's a freely available downloadable tool on the IBM website. Secondarily, we've got the cornerstone here of the CoolBlue portfolio, something called Power Executive. And Power Executive is unique and unparalleled in the industry in that it allows you to collect, cap, and control your systems for your business needs and your business requirements, making sure that you deliver power when you need it, how you need it, and where you need it most in order to meet your business goals and your objectives, driving up performance per watt per square foot. And I'm happy to say that this innovation comes standard on all System X racks and blades that we released last year with no incremental fee. That's right, it's free and it comes with all the systems that we released last year. Additionally, we've got the rear door heat exchanger, a very cool piece of water-based technology that actually can remove 55% of the heat dissipated from the back of a rack, and whether that's on a spot hot spot basis or whether that's a scaled-out approach that you want to take to your data center, you've got to remove that heat across the data center. We can take this down as scalable as one hotspot, one server in the data center, or we can roll this out to multiple servers like we've done at Georgia Tech, where they purchased about 12 of these doors and were able to lower their total cost of ownership significantly. I encourage all of our customers and potential customers to go out and see the Georgia Tech installation or visit some of the CoolBlue website, which actually has a video testimonial talking about the benefits that they were actually able to enjoy through the rear door heat exchanger. Additionally, we've got some pretty innovative and powerful options in our System X portfolio. We've got a PDU that actually allows customers to measure the power draw coming into their rack. So anything that you plug into this PDU, you can actually measure the power that's being drawn remotely or locally. It provides information over the web or through software packages. You can actually completely manage end-to-end the information and make more informed decisions about where your power consumption needs to be in your data center. And we complement that with our powerful array of services. The Site and Facilities Organization recently made the announcement that they were bringing forth all the innovation that we've been bringing to customers from our mainframe heritage and some of that expertise. We're bringing that level of expertise down to the x86 business, and we're happy to say that in a lot of ways we're kind of going back to the future with not only the innovation we've leveraged from our mainframe brethren like the rear door heat exchanger, liquid cooling, which they've been taking advantage of for quite some time in System Z in our mainframe, but also the expertise. Those same folks who were installing and managing mainframes several decades ago, they're still around. The laws of physics haven't changed, and the same challenges we were able to overcome back then, the services practice is happy to help our customers out with today.
You mentioned blade servers. Of course, they've been around for some time. Is there something that's being done within the architecture of the servers themselves to address this problem, packing more power into smaller space?
Yeah, so as you know, the blades themselves have all operated under the shared resource model for quite some time, meaning no additional needs for separate additional fans. We can kind of share all those resources inside of the blade center chassis. The blades are built from the ground up to take that shared resource into consideration with regard to the air fans and the blowers and some of the power supplies. And we talk about the power factor conversion for the power supplies, a very important aspect over there. We've made the decision up front to invest around the most efficient power supplies we could find. And in the industry, really, greater than the 90%, we're actually able to deliver that to our customers today. We've been doing that for quite some time, and we're more than happy to talk about those things as the levels of innovation that actually can provide the maximum amount of performance per watt per square foot above comparable blades in the industry today.
Are customer buying patterns changing regarding blades and conventional servers? They seem to be moving en masse to the blade form factor?
I think the answer to that in the short term has been yes. We're seeing a tremendous amount of focus and energy around more energy-efficient platforms. If I can take a look at the same footprint inside of my data center and look at where I used to have a conventional rack or server, I can get the same amount of productivity done with fewer rack space. Fewer rack space, meaning that if I was taking up 42U before of rack space, now I can actually cut that down. In a lot of cases, I can actually have that. I can actually take up less rack space and get the same amount of productivity out through my blade that I used to get out get from my rack. So this is actually helping our customers to rethink a lot of their deployments. I can consolidate a lot of the workload, a lot of the systems, a lot of platforms into one space. For a lot of our branch offices, this makes perfect sense. Now they don't have all these disparate architectures and islands of information all over the place. They can actually bring some of that productivity and IT power into one central location. Very powerful value proposition. Additionally, for a lot of our customers, we're thinking about lowering the total cost of ownership for the distributed platforms. This is very, very attractive. The thin client and the ability to actually control some of the updates and the management that goes on when customers have ThinkPads and laptops all over the place. If we can consolidate some of that work and bring that in-house, it actually helps our customers lower that total cost of ownership for all the disparate laptop pervasive devices they actually have to manage inside the data center. So the focus here is taking advantage of blades for next generation network things like our telco solutions has really focused our attentions more on how we can actually provide a lot more value for this new form factor since it's becoming increasingly attractive and increasingly a win for us.
You mentioned a tool called Power Executive. How does that work?
Power Executive works through a collection of three assets that need to be in place. One, you need a System X supported system platform, and on that System X platform, you need something called a BMC. And on the BMC runs a little bit of code that actually collects the inventory and collects information about, you know, ambient temperature and exhaust temperature and the electricity that the system is actually using. In addition to that, you need some software from the website. You can download that software. And it's effectively a systems management interface. That systems management interface comes in two varieties, two flavors. There's a standalone version. So for customers who just really want to unlock all the innovation from Power Executive, they're capable of doing that for, again, this is another freely available piece of software from our IBM websites. You get a standalone version and be ready to roll. Additionally, for our customers who standardize around IBM Director, there's a Director extension for Power Executive, and they can download that extension as well. But whether they go through standalone or whether they go through the extension, they're able to get the rich functionality through collecting, capping, and controlling that's available for Power Executive free of charge. They deploy the manager in the network, and any supported System X platform that has that BMC on it, again, all the systems we released last year, are going to be supporting Power Executive. You can then, right out of the box, begin to collect information and aggregate that information. What do you want to do? Logical groupings of systems by rack, by blade, by data center, whatever your logical grouping is, you can actually run forth and take advantage of Power Executive today. Now, what Power Executive actually allows you to do, if I can drill down a little bit further with regards to collecting, capping, and controlling, is you can measure the power consumption on your systems and your servers. So no longer do you have to assume that based on nameplate rating, that this system is consuming X amount of electricity 100% of the time and is 100% utilized. We can actually dispel that rumor, break through that barrier right away, and allow our customers to see that this system is only actually consuming this. There's a big delta between what you thought it was consuming, and now you can actually free up and unload that stranded electricity and deploy it and deliver it, allocate it to other systems so you can get more work done. You can set caps on these systems. Through Power Executive, we actually allow customers to set a cap on a system so that you know as a customer that this system is not going to exceed a certain power consumption level if within the boundaries of your particular environment. Furthermore, if you so desire, you can actually set a cap to throttle the system. So you can, if in a customer environment where performance is not necessarily key or not critically important for some applications, and you can make that trade-off, we allow you the functionality to select the ability to throttle a server. Now, that is something that a customer could elect to choose if they so decided. But Power Executive allows you the flexibility to either set a cap, which is at a high watermark, you know, at a level where you can get a level of confidence that your system is on cruise control and it's always going to get maximum performance per watt all the time. or you can elect to actually set a throttle. These are all rich functionality that's part of Power Executive, again, free out of the box. The ability to either tap or the ability to throttle, your choice, completely up to you. Amazon aren't busy to unlock that potential there so that you can actually consume less power when the systems aren't busy in idle modes.
Looking out 5 years now at how data centers are going to look in the future, what do you think will be the biggest changes between the data center of today and the data center then?
One of the things we talk about when we talk about data center layout and design is the thinking around the concepts of airflow, thinking around the concepts of power, thinking around the concepts of thermal density and space. These are all concepts and ideas that need to be taken into consideration up front. So how do I think about the layout of my hot aisles, my cold aisles? How do I think about cable management? Certainly an important consideration when you think about air flowing from the front to the back of the rack. You don't want cables getting in the way, already affecting the airflow and affecting our ability to properly power and cool our systems. How do I take into consideration racks that maximize the flow of air from the front and the back so I don't get that air leakage? Thinking about the floor tiles, are they the right shape and size to support the increasing densities that we're driving over here in the x86 space? And thinking about proper allocation and proper dedication of systems resources to certain applications. Are there more energy efficient platforms in the data center that could be handling these workloads? So that has to do with reprovisioning of application. And a lot of things I've started to talk about are really going to be driven around automation. You know, how can we all together as IT vendors get together with the systems managers, with the hardware manufacturers, with the power manufacturers and the cooling vendors to pull together an architecture that says that regardless of you, IT vendor, whatever manufacturer you are, whatever vendor manufacturers you are, whatever sundry, you know, storage or switch manufacturer you are, can you guys all play together nicely in the same data center so I have a consolidated console for me to actually take a look at my data center and start to automate some of these applications, the workload, and some of the decision-making in my data center in as efficacious a fashion as possible. I've got a lot of complexity riding here in my data center. I've already got a number of triggers I've got to pull left and right. I'd like to get to a point where I can make a decision about my applications, my workloads, and have all that information on the power and thermal characteristics of these parts of the data center ready and available to me so that I know where to move my workloads accordingly when I need to, in the most profitable time space allowable for me to make that decision. And right now, we've got a lot of information coming from islands of vendors. We have a solution. You know, our competitors have a solution, and on and on and all. And all of that, the consolidation of that information in a manner in which customers can begin to automate some of that information is critically important. I think you'll start to see all of us working together. We've already got some good groundwork for that started to lay down already. Organizations like the Green Grid have brought forth a lot of great thought, and we'll be hearing some great things from them coming forward. The EPA has already started making some great enclaves and strides with regard to standards. How do we communicate to our customers and our business partners how energy efficient these platforms are? Organizations like utility companies and government organizations have already started to step in and provide incentives for customers to select the most energy-efficient platforms of choice. So you're starting to see not only the integration and the ecosystem around the data center working very closely together, but also upstream partners all along that value net getting involved in the data center planning, layout, and design to make sure that when I roll out my next group or X number of servers in my data center, I have a great understanding about the energy efficiency characteristics of this particular system or platform, and I also have a good understanding about the total cost of ownership. And that information is readily available upfront to me before I consider standardizing around one platform or the other.
To the point of standards, will Power Executive work with non-IBM systems?
You know, as of today, right now, we support the systems that rolled out last year from System X. Certainly, there's a roadmap for us to bring forth a consolidation play. I think absolutely the customers want to hear that all of our solutions support anything inside of the data center. I think it's really going to take a lot of effort and work from all the IT vendors and manufacturers to bring forth a solution that works for all of our customers, and the roadmap is absolutely there. It's absolutely in place. I think what remains to be seen is all of us coming together and making sure that we do the right things for the customers, and certainly that's something that's high on our list of priorities to make sure that we get this abstraction of these thermal objects in the data center so that regardless of what IT vendor you like to standardize around, all that information bubbles up in a consolidated fashion, in an easy fashion, and is platform and hardware agnostic.
Well, thanks to Kwesi Asare for bringing us up to date on the latest trends in data center power management. And thanks to you for listening in. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed to get all the IBM Innovations podcasts delivered directly to your PC or MP3 player. For the IBM Innovations podcast, I'm Paul Gellin.